Alright, good morning and welcome back. Today, Wednesday, December 22. This may not be a full hour or hour 10-minute talk. I'm not going to be working from pages, but from the inner, from what I know, or think I know. The title here is Collective Crucifixion. Heavy title. I haven't uploaded this yet, so this is pre-final titling. Collective Crucifixion and the Satguru. And the Satguru is not Sadguru, but the Satguru, meaning the teacher or point of light guidance that's true in reality and truth. Absolute truth, reality, Sat. Point of awakened guidance, awakening and guidance as Guru. Particularly, though, the basis, or the focus is collective crucifixion. And thinking about this, in number one, this is sort of a summary of many of the presentations I've given on end times, which I think we're in right now, 3D end times. Last time talking about the footsteps of Messiah or Messiah or Meshiach or the end, the dimensional shift, the footsteps, the signs of the end from the Chabad, Jewish, Hebrew, Orthodox tradition, totally in line with Yeshua's teaching, the parable of the tares and other parables, and talks on apotheosis and Armageddon, apocalypse at Armageddon. This is what we're facing on the cross, or living in this world today is akin to being nailed to, or being affixed to, or remaining for this incarnation on a cross. What cross? Well, then we talk about the mandala of mind, or the polarity of vertical, horizontal, and the exact position up the vertical where the horizontal is affixed. Rosicrucian tradition, which I'm not so familiar with, rosy cross, the cross at the center of the rose at the center of the cross, like Yeshua on the cross, like infinite being in a soul or as soul now in body. Our position in this world in these end times, where we're going through all these qualities of experience, is akin to a fixed position upon a cross, the cross of matter-spirit, the horizontal-vertical. So there's the geometry of the cross, there's the qualities of experience on the cross, which are the qualities we're facing here in the end times. And then there's guidance of the inner guru, or the true teacher. Ra saying that, you know, the true teacher is within, of course. The kingdom of heaven is within, and therefore the king of heaven is within. But it's not the same as a conscious mind or our personal personalities, obviously. Not me. It's not the me. It's the one that comes as I, the basis of I, which is, you know, I and Brahma is one. I is source, or the source, you know, who are we really? So the geometry of the cross, the qualities of experience on the cross, and then the source of guidance being the nature of the one or us experiencing this, experiencing life on the cross with the polarity geometry of the of its positioning, of the position on the cross. So there's the geometry of the position of the cross, or the cross itself, and our position on it, you know, or the position of the rose on the cross, or Yeshua, you know, in his self-offering crucifixion. Then the experience of this crucifixion and guidance, or the light in which it occurs, being a Satguru, or the true nature. So in terms of geometrics or geometry, you've got the polarity of vertical horizontal. And just like the arms and the torso, the legs as polarity for standing and moving. Again, the relationship between the five points of the star, the Hu Man, the two left leg, right leg, left arm, right arm, and head. Very much akin to chakras 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 as head. So, body complex, 2, 3, legs. Mind complex, 4, 5, arms. Spirit complex, head. The chakras of mind. The chakras of consciousness, self-consciousness. Where 1 and 7 are pre- and post-consciousness. Or before beingness evolving and after beingness evolving, before identity and after identity, 1 and 7. So this is an integration, right? So the peak of the cross and the base of the cross in the earth is 7-1. The shape you see is different, right? It's not a sphere, it's an oval, meaning the horizontal is not actually in fourth chakra, meaning the horizontal, the point of contact between the horizontal and the vertical on the cross of a cross is above the fourth center. It's actually fifth chakra. And so I was thinking about that, you know, I did an essay long, long ago about the cross and the crucifixion. And the sacred geometrics of cross is that initially, or one form is called equal armed cross. Equal armed cross is the plus sign, where the horizontal intersects the vertical right in the middle, which would be fourth chakra of 7. Actually, the Christian cross, the crucifix cross, the horizontal intersects at the fifth chakra, and the fifth, or somewhere like that, 5-6. That's interesting. The cross, you know, seek ye wisdom above all. Seek ye blue, and then you'll be centered in green. Because if you seek green, you may not get to blue. You may be a dupe. And so this seems to be a subtle teaching on the primacy of fifth ray for those of us on positive path. That the horizontal of the cross intersects with the vertical above the fourth. It's not an equal armed cross. It's not a plus symbol of earth. It's an elevation of the horizontal to what appears to be the point of fifth chakra, or 5/7 of the way up from base to top of the vertical. That's not unimportant. And all spiritual traditions, or all religious traditions, put wisdom above love and compassion, simply because there's no durability to love and compassion without wisdom. And true wisdom, of course, is based in love or honesty, in the sense of the two chakras, the two higher chakras of mind, is, in my view, would be 4 and 5. You can't say one is more important than the other, or fifth is more important than fourth. No. But the way to ascension is leading with 5, not 4, actually, because it's a commitment to truth that is the basis of the development of love. Meaning green ray is critical for harvest, obviously, but the basis of anyone's development of green ray is not green ray, but blue ray, meaning some love of truth. Love of truth, that love is critical. A love of the truth of the fact of the critical importance of green ray for human life. Ra said the purpose of third density is to learn the ways of love. So that's what this is all about. That's, you know, Earth is a school for souls who have not yet learned love. And we can see, I see, that most souls haven't. And that's evidenced by their lack of commitment to truth. Their self-dishonesty. The vast sinkhole of indifference, as Ra said, that leads to this paucity of honesty, as Ra said. Which is why we see most people fear-based submitting to lies. That's a big problem. So the geometrics of the cross, horizontal, vertical, very much where the crown, the top of the cross is akin to seventh ray, the bottom of the cross is akin to first ray. The horizontals are critically the development of 2, 3, 4, 5, or where the center is 5. The horizontal, so the vertical obviously is you know, the way of in and up, self-reflection, the way of aham vichar, self-inquiry, I-inquiry, the inner life, the spiritual life, an understanding of life purposes, learning, growing, helping, that the inner is more valuable than the outer. And if we focus on the outer, one goes down. If one wants to go up, one must focus on the inner, not excluding, of course, the outer, because the outer is the horizontal and the inner is the vertical. And if one neglects the outer or the horizontal, one ends up with very dysfunctional relationships or no relationships. No relationships and dysfunctional relationships are both harmful, obviously. And that's a damaged, unhealthy horizontal. So the horizontal is the human, like the two arms, left arm, right arm, which is all about receiving and giving on the human, on the horizontal, on the 3D space-time plane, the 3D plane of space-time. In the physical world, in the social world, the relational world. Receiving, giving, left arm, right arm, fourth chakra, fifth chakra. And so in some sense, one can't develop love wisdom without right relationality, or the development of love wisdom is the development of right relationality. Right relationality, right relations is not one of the Noble Eightfold Path in Buddhism. But the whole development of Sila, Samadhi, Prajna, the first of the three, the divisions of the Eightfold Noble Path, right livelihood, right action, right speech, that's all about right relationality. And right relationality with others is based in right relationality between the conscious and subconscious mind. And so, as without, so within, as above, so below. And so, the health of one's relationality with other selves is a product of one's health regarding the relationship between what is experienced as conscious mind, subconscious, one's personal psychology. How well I know myself, how well I accept myself, how well I forgive myself, how well I am honest and rightly responsible for what I is or the personal mind. So, right relationality inwardly leads to right relationality outwardly or in the interpersonal, in the social, on the horizontal, left arm, right arm. If there's a problem, if the right arm or the left arm is too heavy, the cross falls over. And so there's got to be a balance between the left side and the right side of the horizontal, receiving and giving. And that's right relationality. And that is learned by how well we deal with ourselves, particularly how well the conscious mind deals with the subconscious. That's psychology. And so, and we should be, you know, that's guided by honesty. How well we do relations with others is determined by how well we do honesty with self. Self-honesty, fifth ray, not fourth ray. Being honest, loving truth, or wanting to be honest with oneself about oneself, is based in love, but and generates love, meaning the capacity to accept what one's personal emotional condition, right? Knowing one's strengths and weaknesses, knowing one's wounding, acknowledging guilt and regret where we have it, acknowledging weaknesses and imbalances and blind spots and blockages, harmful vasanas and tendencies, and when we're out of right action, right speech, how we've been hurt and how we're not quite well still, and as well as where we are developed and crediting ourselves properly. That's honesty. But that honesty is absolutely interpenetrates with love, obviously. Love as unconditional acceptance. One has to have some commitment to unconditional acceptance to find truth. And so honesty is love of truth. And love of truth is a green-blue blend. Love, the green-blue center, right? So they're really one center. The horizontal is really not itself a polarity of left-right either when it's been fully developed. So on the cross today, there's on the cross in body and there's on the cross at end times. So there's the cross of being, you know, what I is in my body-spirit complex. And then there's being, you know, what I is, true nature, in the cross of physical incarnation at this time. Another experience of crucifixion. And so balance is critical. Qualities of the experience of our crucifixion at the current time obviously are reflected in all those talks I've given about apocalypse and Armageddon, apotheosis, tribulation, this quickening or intensification of catalyst, time feeling to go, being going faster, the experience, subjective experience of time speeding up, accelerating, intensification of catalyst is a part of that. So here at the end times of the third density cycle, I think it's every religion talks about it, you know, and the raw material, and most channels who are worth their salt. We have a final reckoning. Humanity itself is on the cross, not just ourselves individually, but the whole collective. A final testing. This is a testing. So 3D incarnation to learn the ways of love is a training, particularly for wanderers. This training is now a hard testing. So it's the training of hard testing at end times in which the collective has its final chance to choose its path of polarity, positive, negative, virtue, vice, the way of love and freedom and honesty versus the way of control and fear and submission to authority, to outer authority rather than inner authority. I mean, the real inner authority is buddhi that leads to appreciation of Atman and then Jivatman union. And so discernment is the discernment leads the way to the Satguru. And that may be an ultimate matter here at the end of third density. It's simply a question of whether souls will be honest with themselves or not and know the difference between doing good and doing harm. And most of them don't seem to know. Lots of them don't seem to know the difference between doing good and doing harm. They don't seem to know the difference between honesty and dishonesty, between being lied to and being honestly helped. They don't know. They don't know deception because they're self-deceiving. Seems to be. So if you consistently trust liars, you've got a problem. One has many problems, or one's mind is quite deluded to be consistently trusting liars and not know when you're being harmed. It's a problem. And so they're demonstrating their inability to make the grade and enter the kingdom of heaven on earth. So it seems. They're not praus, the meek to inherit the earth. The mild, well-trained warhorse. Okay, so it seems. But being here with what also seems to be a continually increasingly demoralized collective, increasingly derationalized, dumbed down, idiocracy, increasingly submissive to regimentation, right? Equilibrium, Brave New World, increasingly somatized, self-drugged, drugged by their pursuits, their trivial pursuits, like Soma, like Librium, right? Equilibrium, like the movie. Soma, Brave New World. Self-drugged by deceptive glamour. So it seems. It's a real problem. And being here with them is a problem. This is our pressuring, our tlipsis. Tlipsis as tribulation, translated as tribulation. The better translation, I think, is pressuring. This end times for us is a great pressuring on the cross. And, you know, meanwhile, Apocalypse is running hard. Apocalypse, Revelation, revealing of the hidden. Absolutely. With for the primary relationship of conscious to subconscious mind or self-knowing, the secondary or reflected secondary or a derivative relationality of self and others, you know, friends and family and acquaintances, self to the group and the collective, another relationship, and then the conscious mind to the world of ideas, right? View. How clear is our view? Do you want truth or not? How much do you want truth, right? It's a good question to ask ourselves, I think. So goes the quote. So, much, you know, is being revealed. And those of us, or when we, to the extent that we love truth, or that we feel we have a strong gut, and we're willing to take the pain of continued revelations, we grow fast. We will learn and grow more rapidly. That also means the truth that I don't need continual exposure to learning, you know, the details of bellicosity or evil or wicked or the matrix or negatives. Some degree is useful. Beyond that, it becomes excessive. It's unnecessary. Actually, it's harmful. I can watch TV and learn something, but if I watch for 6 hours straight, I will probably harm mine to some degree. Likewise, any pursuit that's trivial or entertaining, a little is good, too much is bad. Not too loose, not too tight. Too loose, we get into trouble. Too tight, we get into trouble. You know, all work, no play makes Jack a dull boy. So Jack and Jill need to periodically go up the hill and play around and take it easy. Too much of that is harmful. Too little as well is harmful. This is a proper balance on the cross. Like that. Not too high, not too low. Not too much receiving and not too much giving. Not a martyr. And not, you know, stuck up, blocked from receiving at all. Willing to receive, willing to give, wisely receiving, wisely giving. This is prudence, dear prudence, meaning prudence in balanced activity. What activity? The activity of focus on the upper, focused on the lower, focused on receiving, focused on giving. The balance of giving, receiving, the balance of inner focus versus outer, the balance of seeking, appreciating the universal and appreciating the very personal, taking care of the trees and the forest. So breadth and depth, the balance in mind focus and attention, or the focus of attention. All of this is how to more comfortably rest on the cross at the fifth position in the blue ray, the blue ray rose, the blue rose of crucifixion. This is important. And so the more we are honest about our discomfort and our dukkha, whether it's dukkha in mind or in body or angst of existential dukkha, existential angst, right? The pain of living in this world, the pain of being in a body, the pain of having this mind, the pain of wounding yet unhealed, the pain of healing, the pain of catharsis, the challenge of rebalancing, the limits to our understanding, dot, dot, dot. So to remain in this condition, in this incarnation, where in many ways we're sort of just doing our best day by day by day until the curtain closes, right? We have very much reduced access to service in some sense, at least physical, social, interpersonal. So there's so many places that are shut down, locked in, downgraded, closed up, unavailable, choked off. More of the time for most folks is solitary now. Meanwhile, world service is possible, but the focus commonly will be more of the inner than the outer. So I wouldn't recommend any kind of intemperate departure, obviously. Meanwhile, we're here as long as we're here, you know. And so this is sort of the discomfort of the cross. spirit in matter, a mind that knows freedom and joy really well, seeing a collective in increasing distress, wishing to help and being rebuffed. Having answers but not getting questions are not coming. It's like being in a rescue boat while in a sea of drowning survivors, where they don't reach out their hand for rescue, so they just drown. Or they remain in distress and despair and dismay and all the other words starting with D associated with disappointment and dire circumstance. And that just goes on and will grow. And they don't want commonly what we have to say, you know. Seek and you shall find, ask and it shall be answered. If they're not seeking and they're not asking and they're not knocking, then what can we do? Ra said they'd simply help people sleep more comfortably, those that are committed to sleeping. Okay, so we can do that. But that itself is kind of painful, to be unable to help. And yet that's our training. That's part of the training. To be here with this group in their condition as they are. But we surely need not be a house divided, and ourselves need to go beyond chronic self-conflict, chronic self-warring hostility. Absolutely. That's very doable, where we become comfortable in our own skin increasingly, or the make a right relation between conscious and subconscious, between the mind, the witness, and the contents, the sun and the clouds and the rain and the wind in the sky of mind, of this sense of self. So let me use a phrase, let me speak a phrase from Jack London, very interesting guy, kind of a troubled fellow, but quite, he died, I think he died at age 40 or 39, complicated guy. Probably a wanderer. His dates are 1876, 1916. Interesting fellow, Jack London. And so the quote is, "The proper function of man is to live, not to exist. I shall not waste my days in trying to prolong them. I shall use my time." On the cross. And so we can't go adventuring so much as he did. Our work is much more inner at this time in history. But this view of not wasting my days and trying to prolong them, I shall use my time. Use my time to live, not to try to prolong the days of this incarnation. How to do so? Making sure that every day counts. Making sure that everything, that each day we find meaning and value. Can't find it every moment of every day, perhaps, if we have obligations that are of duty and testing, like family and work, sometimes, or dealing with troubles that are part of our testing or training. But it's certainly important to make sure we're living in accord, in being true to ourselves, and that's back to integrity. Like last week, integrity as alignment between conscious subconscious, or being true to what I truly value, knowing what I value, knowing what's critical and secondary, knowing where it's right to compromise and where I will not compromise, and particularly with hard decisions that may be coming to us in the future. We don't need, like this whole point of survival, right? Survival at end times. It's not physical survival, meaning trying to prolong my days. That's critical. So, survival is not a physical trying to prolong my days, as he said, wasting those days trying to prolong them. But rather, the survival of our values, the survival of integrity. And that may mean making hard decision. At the end of the book 2150, very important scene. John, I believe, the main character in micro society, which is very much like third density today, or the end times becoming more and more split and aggressive, divided groupings in society, is given a certain choice where this was his final testing to see if he would evolate or graduate or enter the 2150 higher society, macro society. The choice was something like these evil leaders of the macro or the micro society were saying. You must. It was a little. I only read the book once, but I have to look again, so it's just a paraphrase. You must sort of become a judge of these micro society condemned or prisoners. You must basically join our side, or we will stone your beloved to death. We will stone you and your beloved to death unless you sign up. Become a judge with us and condemn people to their death and do all sorts of other service to self activity. And his decision is no, I will not comply with your evil and do evil. You can kill me and you can kill my beloved because I know that me and my beloved will go on because physical survival is not my intention. Or not the highest value. The survival of integrity, survival of my morality, survival of my authenticity, or being true to myself, the survival of I and my values is number one, is all that counts, is more important than physical survival. So kill us both, he said, something like that. And that's what happened. They stoned her to death, and they stoned him to death, and they both died, and then they both, or at least he, certainly joined her and the community in the macro society of 2150. And that's akin to Jack London saying, "Don't waste your days trying to prolong them." I'm not encouraging any decision. I'm not encouraging any action. I'm just giving you some ideas. And the idea is, be true to what's essential. And don't forget. I think that's how I live. wanting to be true to what's essential, and not forget where I'm from and where I'm going. That's all. It's not an encouragement to anything other than reflection. And so this is important. I think so. Because we are on the cross in many ways. And, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. We surely should not do the bidding of evil, however we define it. And so, and my choices will not be the same as yours. And everyone has to choose, in accord with their own values, how best to use their time, right? To live. So the function of man to live, not just to exist, not just to prolong the days, but to live by using one's time to live, however one defines that. And that's, you know, an individual matter. So, I think these are useful perspectives. And that is the collective crucifixion and the individual testing training at the current time. And much the catalyst will come our way. Many of the choice points and hard decisions will need to be made, like John at the end of the book 2150. And if you want to see some inspiration, which is kind of hardcore, again, look at Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ. It's a rough movie. But it reveals the nature of the crucifixion experience for Yeshua as best as he could in the film. And Jim Caviezel is absolutely a saintly soul. And I'm sure, I have no doubt, that he will be a Christ figure on another 3D planet in the future. I think that he's being trained for that, Jim Caviezel himself. And that shows, you know, the agony at Gethsemane, that kind of thing, the night or day before the final decision. Take this cup from my lips, but no, I accept the cup like that. I don't want it, but I accept it. I'd rather not be on the cross, but I want to accept that I'm here. And I want to remain in integrity, however I can. And again, each person has their own way. And finally, you know, back to Sadhguru, there is an experience one can have in meditation where one stops complaining about distortion, about nasal Sinai imperfection for me, meaning I'm not taking perfect double board inhalation exhalations with absolutely no blockage nor nasal Sinai contraction, because it's not even content. It's not the wind. In the end, the sky may be clear of clouds and rain, but there's still wind, and there's still agitation. It's structure and function. One's function may be quite well. The structure is not yet perfect either. And so you work on body after you work on mind. The initiation of body follows upon the initiation of mind. One may have a well mind or basic love wisdom in relation between 6 and 2-3. But this energy system is not perfected. Likewise, nasal Sinai are not perfected. Meanwhile, one can get to the point where it just doesn't matter. One just doesn't care. And imperfection or distortion is I've tasted this. I'm not living there, but I've tasted it. Distortion, nasal imperfection, the lack of a perfect, radiant, shining body inhalation, exhalation process. I mean, we're talking about, I've had the experience of joy upon each inhalation, that every inhalation increased joy. This is really very purified, but that was just a moment, a very short time. every inhalation was joy increasing, very tangibly. It was very wonderful. Not having that, because one's not doing hours and hours of practice daily, one yet can still get beyond complaining and so fully accept the imperfection that it's no longer felt as imperfection. Experience the so fully accept nasal Sinai imperfection, which means not perfectly joyous respiration. I'm not talking about blowing your nose. We're talking about the any kind of very subtle yin-yang imbalance between heat and cold in the structure of the Sinai, nasal Sinai. I'm not talking about snot. No snot. We're talking about the back, the structure in the back of the Sinai being less than ideal. One can yet still get to the point of accepting that so fully that it falls away and doesn't. One's no longer aware of imperfection. And so distortion of the perfect acceptance of distortion leads to an experience of non-distortion and freedom from the polarity of perspective of distortion, non-distortion. The whole issue of distortion, non-distortion falls away when one is in perfect acceptance of what had been felt or seen as distortion or imperfection, if you understand what I mean. And at that point, one really can be just, I'm not saying I'm there fully, but I've tasted it. And one can be more fully than I am, of course. So free of complaining or rejecting or non-accepting, so fully accepting this is all that can be. It can't be other than it is. And complaining is completely unnecessary and unhelpful. So it's unnecessary and it's unnecessary because it's unhelpful. It's unhelpful. It does nothing. Complaining. It does nothing other than make more trouble, make more distortion, make more blockage, right? So complaining about dukkha and distortion makes more dukkha and distortion. Okay, so it's completely useless for resolving dukkha and distortion to complain about it, to be frustrated with it, which are all forms of non-acceptance. And so if one can be in full, perfect acceptance, which is a very, green ray transparency, or green ray perfection, transparency of the core of the sphere, the rosy cross point, the blue rosy cross, there's no longer any recognition of a distortion or a dukkha. And in fact, one goes back to real deep wellness. That goes to equanimity. I don't know if it goes to Nibbana, but it certainly goes to equanimity. And a certain happiness at the having finally put down complaining. That's very useful. So, that's it. Short talk today. I hope it's useful. Hopefully this appears on YouTube. YouTube Studio will be kind to me. But please look at the other channels. That's where there will be no sign-in issues. And for those who celebrate, Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas, Happy New Year, whatever holiday or no holiday. It's certainly a holiday season. And it's a lovely time of the year, actually, religious, non-religious. It's a nice feeling, you know. It's a little bit like before bedtime. For people who can sleep well, or when one sleeps well, the hours before bedtime are pleasant. Homecoming approaches. Blessed rest. Blessed sleep. Reunion. So, thus it is. Anyway, I hope you're well. I hope this was helpful. Take good care of yourselves, and good night.